AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of DIC. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock.
Come on, Chutney.
And welcome to Season 11, Episode 66, Ricky.
66. Lovely.
You all right?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good.
It's a weird sort of place we find ourselves in at the moment, isn't it? Because like, there's transfers, there's not transfers, there's loads of transfers, and now there ain't that many transfers. You've got Arsenal fans, all kinds of shit happening at Arsenal. You've got mad scandal happening. It's been a strange summer so far, just because as Spurs fans, we're not used to us getting business done early. But before all of that, you've got a story.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, like weird summer and traumas and stuff like that. I had a to-do, shall I say, last Thursday. I went to take my kids to their first, we had our first family-like gig. And we went to go and see Ed Sheeran at Wembley.
As I said, I was wondering what the gig was. Ed Sheeran's about right.
Yeah, exactly. But we'd left him plenty of time. And when we got to, I think it was the North Circuit going to Wembley, there was a massive traffic jam and we'd got one of those just park spaces. And on the sat-nav, it was 9 minutes away and we were still just stuck in traffic. Basically, after 45 minutes, we hadn't moved anywhere. And there was...
On the way?
On the way, yeah. So there was this grass verge that I could see like next to the motorway with the bridge going over. And I put in the sat nav how close it was to Wembley.
Can I get over that grass verge?
Yeah, and it's a 36 minute walk, and the parking space was a 9 minute drive. So I said to my missus and the kids, "You're gonna have to get out, and you're gonna have to get walking, otherwise you're gonna miss the gig." And there was like tears, and no, Dad, we don't want to leave you. You know,
don't leave me.
Yeah, don't leave us. We do it together. We go together. And I just went, Dad. I was like, get out of the car now. Go, leave me. Don't look back at me. So booted them out of the car, and they went on their way, and they managed to get to the gig.
Did you punch the steering wheel at all?
No, I just kept beeping really, really loud. There was like, you know, 100 cars in front of me. So me beeping would definitely get everything going.
You've got to do it as a man. You've got to beep.
No, I didn't beep, actually. I just sat there thinking of what I can actually do. I checked beforehand and Ed Sheeran had got onto stage at 8:30. And so I was like, okay, that's the time to get there for. And my parking space was a 30 minute walk away. In the end, traffic went, I zipped through the back streets of Wembley, got to my space, got there at 8:10.
Wonderful.
And the walk was 30 minutes, so I was like, fuck. So took my jumper off, wrapped it around me, got everything in me, and was just sprinting. Didn't know where I was in Wembley, just sprinting down the street, scurrying around like a little rat, running up alleyways. Like, didn't know where I was going, just shouting at people to get out of my way. Got to Wembley, looked at my ticket, and it was the other side, the other entrance. I was like, fuck's sake. Sprinted all the way around the stadium, got in there, and got to my seats, and my missus at that moment was just taking a picture of the girls. And as I was coming through, they didn't see me. And then I crouched down and said, oh, can I get in the photo? and they realised it was me, and then they were all crying and jumping over me, and it was going off. And then as that happened, I heard a counter, 3, 2, 1, and Ed Sheeran was on stage. It was literally fucking seconds by the skin of my teeth that I made it, pouring in sweat. But it was a great gig, absolutely great gig. And then we go to the second story, same night. Fucking hell. Obviously, got out of the stadium, walked half hour. Well, it's probably about 45 minutes because I was with the girls to the car. Late at night, got a Mackey's and that. So it was about 12:30, getting towards the motorway. And four junctions were closed for maintenance, which, you know, it's fine. We were going along the diversion, following everyone else. But the diversion was taking us further and further and further away from where our house was. So I was like, fuck, what are we going to do? And we just passed Watford. So I was kind of going to redo the sat-nav and just trying to plan it.
It's like Beirut past Watford, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking mad. And then I just heard my missus say, Rick, the engine lights come on. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And as we're going over these like little dimly lit road, it was like chugging forward.
What was going through your head, Rick? What was going through your head at that point? So you got two little girls in the back.
Yeah,
you got your missus next to you. You're the man. You've got to sort this out. I know, you know, in modern society, you can't say you are the man, so you should sort this out. But it was on you, right?
No, well, yeah, she was driving, so, you know.
Oh, so it was on her. It was on her. As a powerful single woman, and not a single, but, you know, woman.
Independent woman.
Yeah, independent woman who is the, you know, wearing the trousers in this relationship.
That's actually not true. That's an inaccurate. But we just say she was driving.
Why you got an issue with that?
I don't. No, I'm just saying, like, it's just an inaccuracy. But anyway, okay. We'll get back to the story. And I would have been like, just drive it until the car dies. And she was like, you can't carry on driving because it could do more damage. And I agreed, but it's at 1:30. It's in the morning, pitch black, middle of nowhere. We kind of limped into a garden centre that was near Watford somewhere and parked up in the car park there, called the recovery, and they couldn't get to us until 3:10. So,
oh, my God. This is a school night?
Yeah, school night, mate. Yeah, Thursday night. So my missus and the girls, they went to sleep and I stayed up waiting for the recovery.
What do you mean? How were they sleeping? Were they... We
had some blankets in the car and some coats and... Just curled up on the seats, really. Yeah, they did. Yeah, everyone fell asleep, and I was just sat there, pitch black, hearing foxes screaming and like all different things going around me. I needed a poo as well, and I was just like, I thought to myself, right, I'm outside locked gates at the garden centre, and there's some bushes. If I do a poo, it would be all right, and I've got napkins from McDonald's, so everything is safe. But I just knew that, like, that people would come in the morning, and someone flicked the CCTV on. Oi! Dave, come and have a look at this. Some geezer's having a turnout. Look. Yeah, so I thought, no, I can't do that.
There's a small angry man having a poo on the side of the motorway.
He's doing a poo and he's pinching his helmet.
And like, he keeps shaking his head. He's shaking his head and pinching his helmet. What are you saying? Is this a foreboding for the Tottenham Hotspur season? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, things can go right. And things can go wrong, and it can all happen very quickly in one, in one evening, as for me. But I think for I didn't get home till 5 that morning as well. So that was lovely.
Any tears on your part?
Inside. I haven't let them out yet. I've like for the past week, I've just been internalizing it as us men normally do. But
Rich, can I ask you a question?
Go for it, mate.
What are you saying? Are you worried about the new season? Is this what you know? Is this a sign? Is that what you're saying?
Nah, not really. Nah, it's not a sign. Not a sign.
I've got another question for.
Yeah, go on. Go on then. Is
any part of you worried about how positive Spurs fans are currently?
No, not really.
Why?
Because we've got Conte at the helm. And Conte doesn't mess about. We've seen what he's like. It's not only that. It's the It's the movements and the behaviour of the club. Like, if you just cross out the four signings that we've made?
Yep. Five, I think.
I was here five.
Well, I don't know. Let's list them. We've got Forster. We've got Perisic. Basuma.
Basuma. Richarlison.
Richarlison, that's four. I'm sure there's a couple of others in amongst them.
Yeah, yeah.
Longley, he's coming.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get on to him. Yeah. But it's there was two kind of like director of football type, someone working under Paratici. And then there's been another person as well that's come in. Similar kind of, I don't know if it's a similar role, but it's kind of increasing that structure within the organisation, as to say, this is your remit, this is what your specialism, and it's not just about transfers, like football operations. And so we're behaving like a big club should be. And so that's really positive. And also there's this link with this free kicks specialist
I want to know not like generally what might be good and what might be bad. Like,
right.
Through the years, me and you have been chatting about various bits about Spurs, and we'll be linked to a player and you'll say, don't fancy him. I don't like the look of him. Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
What is it? Don't give me sort of general sort of explanations. What is it that makes you excited about what's happening right now? Just if we're talking in the pub, what is it?
It's that we're signing loads of people.
We're signing loads of players.
Signing loads of players, and the players that we're bringing in.
Sounds right.
They are. I mean, like Richarlison is a really smart bit of business.
Be honest, good Rick.
Player.
Be honest. Yeah. 2 months ago, if you say 60 million for Richarlison, would you have taken it?
Nah, I mean, I probably wouldn't.
Nor would I. Now I'm like, yeah.
And it's like it's what do you call it? It's 50. It's 50 mil.
Yeah, all right, 50 plus 10. I heard the weird sort of strange giggling of a man that's just entered the podcast. What are you giggling about, Cal?
I clicked on the to enter the podcast and started singing, you know I got what it takes to make the club go out of control. But then no one bit, so it's fine.
We didn't even hear it. You've added nothing so far, Cal.
That's fine. Yeah. That's absolutely fine.
Look who it is. Oh, it's Flav and Ricky. We recorded together in the shop, but we've
never ruined
it. We're 10.
You've ruined it. Sorry, Rick, carry on.
I can't even remember what I was saying now. He's ruined
Doesn't
it.
Matter.
Ruined the moment.
Yeah, the ruiner. I think we're just generally talking about how excited and why we're excited, other than the sort of, looking at the amount of players coming in and how good they may or may not be, or signing Richarlison for 50 plus 10 million pounds. Knowing that he won't go into our first team, we're in a weird situation now where Spurs are doing things that we haven't done previously, Cal. Mm. That's fair, isn't it? Well, why is that so exciting? It's obvious, but let me tell the people why it's so exciting.
Well, I think when you've had two transfer windows without a signing, or you're used to, Daniel Levy for a long time was known as this manager that did everything at the last minute. And that reputation only really existed because of the Van der Vaart deal. He doesn't have loads and loads of form of buying players right at the very end of the window. But we've got four good signings, really good signings, and it's barely July, and we're about to go on a pre-season tour, and all the players are, if we've got four signings in, I think they might squeeze one over the line before Saturday as well. So, yeah, loads to be excited about, and you don't want to make too many signings. Because you want the team to kind of blend together. But yeah, it's really exciting. And all these signings we have made are really good. And plus, we've obviously got Kane and Son, peak of their powers. And, it's great.
But we did have a question. I can't find the question because I haven't written a running order in about 4 years. But I can't find the bloke who put the question in. But he was asking Rick whether or not signing as many players as we have done is problematic? Will there be an issue with chemistry? It has crossed my mind. Do you think that there might be an issue in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance, isn't there? There's always a chance that it's some may not work out. And you're coming into, like, the environment is very intense with Conte, especially with pre-season as well. You might have signed up going to play for Tottenham, get good wages, big club, Champions League, and then when you get there, it's actually like, fucking hell, this is well hard work. I wasn't thinking about this. And the people as well, you might just not gel with those people. And yeah, it could. And we've also got people coming back like Lo Celso and Dembele. And like Winks, he's obviously on his way out. Don't know where yet, but there could be, there could be a divide in the change room. It could be that people just are visibly unhappy and kicking off and stuff like that. But I think because it's the start of a new season, everyone's fresh from their holidays. The World Cup's just around the corner. Everyone's buzzing. There's a real kind of good vibe around the club. And I think as well with Conte, I think the players trust him because they know how good he is and that we managed to get top four. And I think if you, as a player, if you really want to be part of the project and you want to be picked and you want to be considered valuable to the squad, you just have to knuckle down and you have to do these double sessions, not complain. And when you're called upon, be there. And I think it'd be all right. I don't know. Do you remember when we signed Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, but it's a different beast now. We're a different entity in its entirety. We're different. We're not having to deal with the fact that our best player, and not just our best player, the best forward player in the world, is leaving us to join Real Madrid. And so we need to spend some money to compensate for that. And actually, it wasn't about dealing with what Bale left when he moved to another club. It was about plugging holes all over the place. And we plugged more holes than there were holes. There was one big fucking hole and they just tried to plug seven that didn't exist.
But I think as well that the players that we're signing aren't all going to go straight into the starting 11, which I think would unbalance the squad, would unbalance the first team anyway. It's good having some that can go in there and some that will be like the first name on the subs bench when you kind of rolling out substitutions, knowing that people are going to get their opportunity at some point. So, and knowing how hard kind of Conte wants his players to perform during the 90 minutes and on like 65 minutes, wing backs come off. He could replace any one of the front three and in midfield as well. So it's all game. And plus this coming season, we've got five substitutions instead of the three. So everyone is going to be like, I don't think it's like you're going to, once you've been signed and like Kane's there, oh fuck, I'm never going to get a chance now. You have to, man. We're going to be in four competitions. We are going to have five substitutions. You know, there is a lot riding on this and a lot of movement can happen. So,
yeah, there's the story of Ndombele coming back. It's not a story. He is back at what do you call it now? What's our training ground called? It's
Hotspur Way.
Hotspur Way. Back at Hotspur Way. I nearly said Spurs Lodge and Chigwell. he's back at Hotspur Way, and he put out a press release or an interview earlier and saying, I could still be happy at Spurs. And which, you know, that's nice of him to say that he could still be happy at Spurs. Not coming out saying, I need to come back here. I need to prove to my manager that I deserve a position in this first team squad or even deserve his attention. But he's come back and said, I think I can be happy here. And obviously, as the Spurs ITK, the more reliable ones out there, have said that his stats coming back, you know, they check the fitness levels of all the players that are coming back from their holidays. And his were horrendous, apparently, again. He's saying this stuff. He wants to come back. A couple of clips came out from his social media with him looking like he was working hard, but they were momentary things. Where are you at with him? Because we've got a situation, Ricky, where we have to, we've got to try and sell him. He's talking about trying to be happy here, which is, I don't know whether he's posturing, or whether he's trying to cement his situation at Spurs, or he's saying to the club that I won't move unless, I don't know, what do you make of an Ndombele situation?
It's a difficult one, isn't it, really? He is our, I think he's our most expensive signing. He's on 200 grand a week. Well,
after Richarlison, yeah. Well, a comparable amount.
Yeah, exactly.
200 grand a week along with, Kane.
With Kane. So he's like top earner with Kane. So you can't really just... It's mad that you're just going to keep loaning him out until his contract runs out, I think. There is a massive talent there. We've all seen it. But again, like, if you are coming back and you're coming back for pre-season and you're massively out of shape and you're tonally not speaking the right language as to say that I'm hungry, give me a chance, that type of thing. And maybe I'm being harsh because, I'm not that person that's going to be there and like be proper alpha male about it. Yeah, I'm going to go and train and smash fucking bods all over the shop and show the boss what I'm all about. Just not very outgoing, really.
Yeah, but there's a difference between not being outgoing. Go on.
Yeah, sorry. But I'm just hoping that, obviously, like I mentioned, we've got the five subs and we didn't sign Ericsson. I think we still desperately need a creative midfielder. Having the three of, even four of Skip, Bissouma, Højbjerg, and Bentancur, I think there needs to be someone. And I don't want Kane to keep dropping back to be this creator. I want him to stay further forward. For someone to be this kind of number 10 and to kind of open, like, we're going to be coming up against teams where they're just going to be putting every man behind the ball and saying, come on Spurs, you come break us down. And we just need that player to come off the bench. He's certainly not going to start, but we do need a player to come off the bench that has got something different to those four midfielders that I've mentioned, that plays a little bit further back, that has got an eye for a pass, and can link up the play better. I still think that the opportunity and the chance is there for him to grab with both hands, yeah, if he wants it.
Yeah, fucking grab it. Grab it. Mm-hmm. Don't turn up back if you believe the ITKs. Don't turn up unfit. Grab the opportunity. The opportunity is there. We're not talking about his talent anymore. We're talking about the opportunity which is right in front of him. To just fucking do your job, do the reason. 200 grand a week. Are you having a fucking life? I don't want to like come across as. I couldn't give a fuck. Actually, I'm going to come across as Cameron. He's being paid 200 grand a week, and he's turning up and going, I could be happy here. Fuck that. Fuck you. Get out. If that's genuinely your mentality, if that's generally how you think, I could be happy at Tottenham, and I may be picking apart a grab from an article or an interview that he's done, and I may be. Maybe that is the case. But as you say, Ricky, the opportunity is there. Grab it. And the spotlight is on you. Conte is looking directly at you because he's already made his decision about you. Because he let you go. You're off in January. You went. So that's what he thinks about you now. How do you change his mind? And it isn't with statements like, I think I can be happy here. We don't care if you're happy here. We don't give a fuck how happy you are. We care about how well you play football for us. And that's it. And clearly he's not doing that.
I would like him to be happy though.
But generally, as a human being.
Yeah, and play football.
So would I. Yeah. So would I. Of course I would. I really hope he's happy. Yeah, not at the expense of fucking 200 grand out of our money, but yeah, I hope, like, generally in the entirety of his life he's happy.
Yeah.
But he's got an opportunity right now, Cal, to be something massive. And he has the ability to be something massive, but he just will not fucking do it.
No, he just won't do the work. And he's so good. And, you know, I think it was T said a couple of pods ago that the last play really remembers being really excited about signing was Tongi and Ndombele. And I was the same. I remember for like the first and only time in my life having Twitter notifications turned on for Tottenham for when they were going to announce Tongi and Ndombele. I was that excited about him signing for us. And he's come, and yes, we've seen moments from him that have been brilliant, but mostly it's not been very good at all. And, you know, I don't expect him to have done this, but Jafak Tanganga and Matt Doherty came back early last week because they both had long-term injuries and therefore came back early to train. Nothing was stopping him, you know, texting somebody, the player liaison, going, can I come back a week early and put a bit of graft in? Because, and I remember saying it on a Patreon pod ages ago, you know, he's so good that he could play for Real Madrid or Barca or, you know, Manchester City. But where is he? He's at Spurs. And Spurs are obviously the best club in the world. But, you know, they're not the richest club or they've not won the most prizes. And so he could be a massive, massive club that wins prizes every year. But he doesn't. He's at Tottenham and he's not even a part of Tottenham. He's gone to Lyon on loan. That's a fucking farmers league in France. He should have gone there and fucking ripped it up. And he didn't. He's gone there and just kind of muddled along, and he'll go to Besiktas or something and he'll do nothing over there and he'll just kind of dwindle his career. He just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have the desire. And, you know, elite athletes, they get paid that money and they don't lose that desire. You know, there's that saying from Marvin Hagler, it's hard to get up at 5 a.m. when you're sleeping on silk sheets. That's what it is for a lot of footballers, that they make the money and then it's hard for them to get up and want to keep doing it. But the very best get up every day and keep doing it.
Luis Bonmati.
Tongi just doesn't have it. Delhi just doesn't have it. And that's fine.
I was just thinking of that quote. That's a quality quote. And then I just... Bonmati. What the fuck? Where did that come from?
I don't remember. Luis Bonmati. He did a Cribs. He did MTV Cribs. And he lived in a fucking a new build in just on the outskirts of fucking God knows where.
Yeah, and he had a Vauxhall Corsa.
Yeah, and it just sent all his money back to his family. I bet his fucking family are living well and he's a god in that household.
That's well funny.
But just where in my head, I just thought I had to say it. Can I say something else, boys?
Yeah, go on.
Because Champions League has faded away. Just try not to worry. You'll play on Thursday. You fake COVID test. So we thrashed you in May. Stop crying, Arteta. Rick, as a man who fucking loves Oasis, how much do you love that tune?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And... I heard one as well for Bentancur as well. I can't remember what it was now. I can't remember the lyrics to it, but I was just like...
He's electric, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I can't remember it, but on the terraces next year, there will be so many... Rick, sorry, go on.
No,
I was just... Move on to the Kulusevski interview.
Some of my fondest memories is being smashed, going to see... Oasis, and when you know every lyric and you're just screaming from the core of you, there is just when there's something so easily sung with those songs, and just being at Tottenham and being pissed up and belting our versions out next season is going to be absolutely quality.
Did you saw the Kulusevski interview?
Yes.
So when he mentioned the gimme gimme.
Yeah.
Oh, but that was the best. Like, it was, the whole thing was wonderful. I don't know how that podcast got that interview, and we were talking about that because, you know, if you're a podcaster or a YouTuber or any other media outlet in the UK, getting access to Spurs' first team or even their ex-players if they're employed by the football club is really difficult. They have press officers that are very, very good at what they do, which is protecting the brand and protecting the reputation of the players. So they have a role to play, but it's very difficult from... our perspective or other people's perspective. You want to actually talk to the players that you adore because you're just not allowed just because you ask questions that BBC won't.
Do you think it's because of the questions that we would ask, like how many bulldog clips can you put on your bollocks?
Well, I don't think I think like 8 years, 9 years ago, we would have asked that question. But right now, I think the kind of conversation that Kulusevski had with those lads, and I'm not sure, I'm presuming it was a Swedish podcast,
yeah,
that they had, that would be the kind of conversation, which is what was going through your head when you was you had an open goal to score against Norwich, bearing in mind, you know, we had to beat Arsenal's, or we had to just win to qualify for the Champions League. And the fact that you broke down every single second of going past the keeper was one of the most wonderful things I've ever heard. Like, I loved Kulusevski before that interview. I adore him right now. Absolutely adore him. If you haven't seen it already, you can go on our Twitter timeline at Love the Shirt, and we've quote tweeted it.
Apparently, as well, he was using a lot of slang in that as well. No. So a lot of the Swedish followers and were understanding what he was saying. They said it's even better. It's like really? Hearing like a hero just saying all these words that you say with your mates, like knocking about, amazing. And he's saying it as well.
Was he? What, he was wearing a Romero shirt for some reason, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was. He, I think someone's questioned him about that, and he says that Romero, he's Romero's biggest fan. They asked him why, and they said just watch him play. You'll know why.
Yeah. Yeah,
go on, Kel. You can't say yeah and then not say no. I was up, just Kel. You understand how podcasting works? Come on,
barely.
You can't go yeah and then silence. Go.
No, I was just confirming that Ricky was right. That is exactly what he said. This is my new favourite player, and he said just watch him play and you'll see why. It was really good, wasn't it? Even though I didn't like, we obviously had subtitles to watch, but even though I didn't,
it's
understand,
so funny.
Yeah, it was just really funny, and he just looked so relaxed. And he just seemed to be having a really good laugh with them all. And it just looks so different to anything that you will see from an English player or a player that plays in England. You don't see them ever looking as relaxed as that or speak like that in that kind of tone and style. It was just, it was just really good to see.
It was that the bit where he went, when I heard gimme, gimme, and he shortened it. So He didn't just say gimme, gimme, gimme a ginger from Sweden. He just said gimme, gimme. Like, he absolutely understands what it is. And of course they're going to understand it. They hear it every week in, and week in, week out. And they're looking on social media and they're listening, I'm no doubt listening to, you know, bits about them. So they understand the culture around their impact on the football club that we all support and love. But to hear it out loud is not something you hear very often. And like I said, like the press officers, if they were around Kulusevski as he gave that interview, and I'm almost certain that Spurs didn't know a single thing. Certainly, if the tactic was going into that game was to pass to Son so he could win the Golden Boot, given the fact that we hadn't actually qualified for the Champions League already, there's no chance the club would want that message going out.
Yeah, I thought exactly the same as well.
But even if we believed it to be true, it, regardless, and obviously it is, they want Son to do well. And you know, when he said, was it the bit where he's like, I've got the ball and I'm hearing the chant and all I've got to do is put it into the net. And then I'm hearing Son go, pass, pass, pass. And I try and pass it to him and it rolled under my foot. as a player as good as him, to be as human as him and to admit it was fucking brilliant. And then, beautifully, after I think it was the next corner, wasn't it, where he just got the ball and curled it into the back post.
Yeah, fucking that was wonderful. Yeah.
Boys, let's get through some questions because there's 45, and we'll do a couple.
Now I want to do all 45 and sit here until 9:30, please.
All right, we'll do five. Luke says, how many more times will we agree a deal for Jed Spence before agreeing a deal for Jed Spence and subsequently signing Jed Spence? I fuck knows what's happening. When we can sign Bissouma in a moment, or Perisic just like that. Like, what's going on there? Do you guys truly believe that it's Daniel Levy's directly involved in it, so it's taking longer? Rick,
yeah.
Do you think that's okay?
I think there's a couple. I was thinking about this actually as I was coming in, because I did. I'll tell all the truth. I did actually scan the questions on Twitter. I was thinking about this. Do you think
there's nothing wrong with preparing? Like, we don't have to be a fucking shithouse all the time.
I know. Do you think Steve Gibson's still there? Right, he's like the most 90s fucking chairman ever. He's been there since Middlesbrough were good. It's amazing. But do you think he's like longing it out? Because, you know, he gets to go into the missus and go, oh, I was dealing with Tottenham today, you know, talking to Daniel Levy today. And he doesn't want it to end. I think he just doesn't want it to end. So every day he's tacking on another million. Or yeah. he's saying, oh, can we do a friendly? Or
no, he's getting one more nosh off his missus.
Yeah.
Because he's still relevant.
Oh, yeah. You were talking to Daniel today. Yeah.
Do you remember when we got married? Do you remember how significant I was then? I was talking to Daniel Lee today. Go on then.
Yeah, it just makes you feel like he's for the first time in, you know, God knows how long since Middlesbrough were relevant as a club, he's like, oh, I'm talking to Daniel. I'm talking to Tottenham, Champions League club. I've got to long this out, but...
It's not looking good for me, bruv. What is the actual reason, though? Why aren't we signing him? Because it's been 15, 20 million touted through
the
press.
I think they're taking the piss.
Many times.
Middlesbrough are taking the piss, to be honest.
Yeah, but are they? Because they own the player. Surely it's us that's not playing what they want.
He's had one good season in the championship, a player they loaned out because they didn't want him, and they want 20 million pounds for him.
Why shouldn't they get their value? They're in the position where they pay us what we want, otherwise we're going to take back Jed Spence and he doesn't want to be here and he's going to hate us. That's
exactly.
The thing.
They're going to have a player that doesn't want to be there and they're not going to get 20 million pounds.
So herein lies the problem. There's us want him. They know that we want him, but they own his registration of his, his pro. I don't know why I phrase it like that. They own him. So we're in this situation, aren't we? They own him. We want him, and it's just wait until, as we get closer to closer to the transfer deadline day. But I'm not even thinking about it because we signed all these players. But at some point, it's got to break, this conversation. But the issue here is Antonio Conte, who's thinking, just get me that player. Do you worry about that, Rick? Just get me the player. Why aren't you getting me the player?
Yeah, but this, it's very, I would say it's almost identical to the situation that I had recently where I was going on a stag do to Marbella and I needed a suitcase that goes in the overhead cabinet of the plane, and my one I had that wasn't the right size, so I had a look on Amazon and I found the one that I wanted, but I had put a tracker on like 3 weeks in advance to see when the price would drop
for a suitcase.
For a suitcase. And I knew
how much did you want to save?
Well, it's saving's a saving, mate.
So how much did you want to save in your head? What was the figure that was that would break the deal?
£12. £12. I can wait, Flav. I can wait the 3 weeks. I can wait. So I put this tracker on there, and I knew the price had dropped recently. So I thought, I've got Prime. I'll wait until right up until the buzzer. Because I knew it was going to drop. It didn't fucking drop. I had to buy it at the full price. So here is the lesson. This is what's going to happen with Tottenham.
It won't happen because we'll get it.
We will, but we'll have to pay the full price of what they're asking. At the moment, it feels like we're saying, this is what we're willing to pay. They're saying, that's not enough. Spence wants to come to Tottenham. We've probably agreed personal terms. He only wants to come to Tottenham. There's probably no other people that want him that is going to trump Tottenham and can give him what we can. So it's going to be a waiting game, and I just feel it's just going to go trundle on throughout the summer, and then in the end, Levy's just going to be like, for fuck's sake, all right, here you go.
I think out of the two positions, we're in the strongest. I don't think the issue is whether or not we're going to get Jed Spence for the value we want. It's whether or not we're going to piss off Conte by playing that game. Like, if... What's worth more? Conte playing £2 million more, £3 million more up front and Conte being happy, or saving £2 or £3 million pounds by signing him 3 days before the end of August?
When do we go to South Korea?
Saturday.
Next month. Yeah, Saturday, yeah.
Right, so there's still time. Still a couple of days. This is what I look every day. I'd refresh my tab with the suitcase and be like, still time. There's still time. There's still time.
And no one I know behaves like that, Ricky. You're the only one I know that behaves like that. You and Daniel Levy. Look, but basically, this entire summer has been about standing on the throats of those who oppose us. Every single one who's come in, we stood on your throats and we choked you out. Let's do that with Middlesbrough. Just stand and say, what do you want? Let's shove the extra 5 million down his throat and let's see what we can do this season. Mm. Or is that... That's probably too simplistic way of looking at football, isn't it? It's not the way it works. Why is Prattici getting fucking dealing like just yeah? What Bervine? What, 30 million euros? Yeah. Go on, let's pay that, and then we're like Bissouma 25. What is that? About the same value, isn't it? More or less. Like Jed Spence, why is it being so prolonged? If it, maybe Rick is what you're saying is that it isn't Tottenham and it's not Daniel Levy, it's Middlesbrough being dicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Cal, what do you think?
No, it's exactly what it is. I think it's Middlesbrough. I'm blaming them. I think there is the thing of what I've already said, the scenario that, you know, Steve Gibson's getting extra gobbies out of it every night because he's dealing with Spurs. And, you know, he's going home and he's like, oh, Sharon, you know, oh, dealing with Tottenham again today. She's like, oh, fucking love you. Yeah. la, la, la. but yeah, I think there's that. But I think the thing is, you're not seeing any other clubs linked to Spence. His agent is probably saying to other clubs, if there is other clubs going, he's going to Spurs, like he wants to go to Spurs. So, but you know, I do think they are demanding a lot of money for a player that's had one good season in the Championship, not in the Premier League, in the Championship. He's had a good season, you know, and I think he's really good, and I think he'd be a really good player for Spurs, and I think we'll sign him. I do think we'll sign him, but I do think Middlesbrough are taking the piss a bit, to be honest. It's easy to blame Levy because we always blame Levy, and at some point you might have to, do you know what? Prattici, I'm going to tag you in, you take over kind of thing. And maybe that's what might have to happen here. But I don't blame Daniel on this one at all.
All right, and then let's move on to... what's his name? Fucking Clement Longley. He's good. He's good, isn't he? Rick, what do you make of him? Longley, you know a lot about him. I know you do.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know a lot.
He lays down a lot.
Yeah, that's it. Longley. Longley, is that how you pronounce it?
Longley.
Okay, no.
He isn't the answer though. He's not the end, is he? He can't be the end of our transfer dealing if it's Longley. Just, I mean, it may be that he's good enough. It may be that he's, you know, he can do that job on the left hand side of the back three, and maybe he isn't the guy that takes over Ben Davies. But I think we all wanted someone who would take over Ben Davies, and if it isn't him, who might it be? We're not going to have Bastoni or. Indica, who is the left, you know, touted to be better than Ben Davies. What do you make of that whole situation, Ricky?
So I think that one of the main key, well, one of the priorities was that left centre-back role. With Bastoni, I don't think we've really got anywhere. He wants to stay. Inter don't have to sell. Then there was Pau Torres. I kind of get the similar vibes with that. I think there was someone else as well that we were after. I can't even remember.
Was it Bremer?
Leipzig. I even forgot about Bremer as well.
Guardiol.
Yeah, so the Leipzig guy and priced out, and he wants to stay there, and so it's looking tough. So the targets that we have had lined up and that we wanted, and we wanted to spend big. Either they're happy or the clubs are happy and don't need the money. And so we've gone down and we're kind of like at the fourth or fifth person, and we can get Longlet on a loan and he's agreed, which is great. Now, there's no saying that the other ones that were higher up on our target list, that something might happen later on during the summer, but at least we've got someone in there that Conte likes and has requested, and that is a better ball player than Davies. The guy himself, I know the player, but I can't say that I know if he's a good player or not. I know that I was checking his stats out, and I think he played like 25 or 26 games for Barca last season. So I think due to injuries and falling out the pecking order, that it didn't go. It wasn't obviously.
It strikes me as a sign that you don't rate.
It's not that I don't rate. I think he will do a good job, and I think he will suffice until we slap down a big offer for someone, and that could be right up until transfer deadline day, or we go big next summer or January. But I think the players that we have targeted, they just aren't attainable at the moment, and this is a good stopgap. This is the best stopgap.
It's almost like registering our interest for the future. Because Bastoni might not want to leave Inter Milan now, but in 2 years he might. And if Spurs have the same setup as we do right now, which isn't inconceivable, then they're like, all right, remember, do you remember how much we wanted you when you were 21? Now that you're 23 and you're better and we still want more money to pay you, then just come and join us. It's the right way to do business, I think. Cal, do you think that we have enough right now to achieve what Antonio Conte wants us to achieve? Even if we don't make another sign-in?
I think if we don't make another sign-in, I'd think we'd get top four again. No problem. I'd be probably even third. But I think it would be tough, perhaps, to balance the Champions League, trying to go far in the Champions League as well as the league. After Longley and perhaps Spence, I think we will get both of them. I can see the idea behind
would
Longley.
Would that be enough?
No, I agree with Ricky. Ricky said something earlier about having a creative midfielder, and James Alcott, your mate. I liked his video. He did a video the other week about Spurs potentially challenging for the title. And if for people who haven't watched it, watch it. It's really good. And he talks a lot about potential signings for Spurs. And he says about Eriksen or Tielemans, because you want to have that flexibility to not always play 3-4-3 and play 3-5-2. So instead of playing two in central midfield, playing three and having someone a little bit more creative in midfield, like Eriksen, like Tielemans, something like that. So we've got the option, because a lot of our central midfielders right now are quite workmanlike. There's no kind of passer in there. The pre-assist guy, the Modric, the Eriksen, someone like that. So I would like a central midfielder. But other than that, I'd be pretty happy.
I think we're going to win the league.
Yeah.
Like, even without him. What we've got right now is enough. And Conte. We're going to win the league, boys.
I think we should take some players away. That's how confident I am.
Yeah. I reckon take Harry Kane out. Bench him. Put him in a youth setup just to show him how good Conte is. Yeah. All right, boys. I think that's we've done enough. This is the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you very much once again for downloading, and we'll see you next time.
Network. Sports Social Podcast 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 Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, and Maria in Miami, Jules in Minneapolis, and Stan in Central Indiana.
Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.